Good morning to everyone that's tuned in, listening, and happy Palm Sunday to you. Next Sunday will be Resurrection Sunday, and you can read a little bit about Palm Sunday in John chapter 12, beginning at verse 12, and see how the people honored Jesus, and when he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, they put the palm leaves down and said, "Hosanna, Hosanna." But the other thing you got to realize is that these same people, not long after that, said, "Crucify him, crucify him." So this is why we have to learn how to trust, trust in the Lord, because people are just that, people. And so we put our trust in the Lord. So we want to talk to you a little bit this morning about the resurrection of Jesus, and point out some of the things in John chapter 11 that I believe are very significant. Of course, it's too much to try to get through all of this chapter, but I did pick out some points that I think are very good for us to hear this morning and relevant to the whole story of the resurrection. Now, in John chapter 11, up until this time, this point in Jesus' ministry, Jesus had turned water into wine in John chapter 2 and healed and delivered many people. But now Jesus was getting ready to do something really different here because death, he said, "I was going to build my church and the gates of hell would not prevail against us." The gates of hell was the most powerful force that they knew at this time. And so when Jesus said that, he was speaking an idiom of their day, something that they could really relate to. And when he went to Lazarus' tomb, it's important for us to realize that Jesus was getting ready to do something that they believed was totally impossible. So he was getting ready to bring the people to a whole nother level and what could happen if they followed God and if they properly connected the kingdom of God. So in John chapter 11, verse 17, it says, "So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days," talking about Lazarus. Lazarus had already been dead. Jesus didn't go see him immediately when the word came to him that his friend Lazarus was sick. And the reason why Jesus took 4 days is because the Sadducees, one of the religious sects in his day, they believed that the spirit didn't leave the body until 3 days. And so Jesus wanted them to understand that Lazarus was really dead when he went there, because if he'd have went in on the third day, they said, "Well, the man never was dead." But we went on when he went on the fourth day, even the religious people of his day had to acknowledge the fact that this man was graveyard dead. And so it was no hope for him at this point. And so that's why Jesus waited 4 days. And he also waits many times for with us in our own lives, because God specializes in waiting till things are right at the death, because no one could do some of the things in your own life this morning. You know, no one could have done for you what Jesus had done for you in that particular situation, whatever it was. And so remember, it's not a time to panic when things get looking like it's going to die, when looking like there's no hope. This is where God steps in and he specializes, but we have to learn how to trust him in that. And so in verse 24 in John chapter 11, it says that Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Now, this is very interesting, because Mary said the same words and Jesus wept. Martha said these words, and Jesus had to give her a lesson, and not so much in doctrine, because Martha had the doctrine. She said, "I know he's going to raise up at the last day. We know the scriptures and what they say." But what she did know is that the last day she was talking about was that day, and she was talking to the resurrection. She was talking to the one that had showed up to do exactly what she had learned through different doctrine. You know, many times we can know the word, but we don't know the Lord. We can know the word. There's many people that know the word from Genesis to Revelation. They can break it down and do so many things with it, but it really means nothing when you don't have a relationship with the one that the word is all about. And so Martha didn't have that revelation that Jesus was the resurrection. And so he was standing there right in front of her and speaking to her. And she didn't know that the last day she was speaking about was that day that she was standing with right there. So in that revelation of knowing who Jesus is, and you got to remember, too, you can't know Jesus through recognition. The only way we can know Jesus Christ is through revelation. And so we have to have a revelation. This is what happened for Peter in Matthew chapter 16 when the Lord said, "Who do men say I am?" And they said, "Some say you're Elijah, and some say this, and some say that." And he said, "Who do you say I am?" And then Peter got a revelation from the Father that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. You cannot know Jesus except through revelation, not recognition. Because the man and woman of God that is ministering at churches this morning, people don't recognize them the same way people don't recognize Jesus. And Jesus said, "You won't see me again until you see me in those that I have sent." And so until we recognize Jesus Christ and the people that God has raised up and called, we're not going to see Jesus again. And so it's important to realize in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 5 says that, "Do you not know that Jesus Christ lives in you?" And so when God raises up a leader, we have to start recognizing the leader and get out of the flesh and stop looking at the package that the spirit of the leader is in, and start understanding that it's the spirit of Christ in the man or in the woman that we have to start learning how to recognize. And we won't know that but by revelation. That's why people have such a problem with authority in church. You know, people just think they can say anything they want to say about the pastor, anything they want to say about leaders, not recognizing that you're not hurting that leader. You're hurting yourself because you are speaking against God. That's God's delegated authority. And so it's important for us to get revelation concerning the people that's in our lives, so we won't be speaking and doing things against God and we think we're doing it against a person. And so in verse 37, in John chapter 11, it said, "Some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" And so once again, they're not understanding that God specializes in impossible situations. The Gospel of Luke teaches us that what's impossible with man is possible with God. And we see all the same, even in the Old Testament, when the Hebrew people and Moses was leading out of Egypt, they got to the Red Sea. There was nowhere to go. There was nowhere to go. And maybe you're listening to me this morning and you're in a situation, you say, "Man, you know, it's nowhere for me to go. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this." You need to know you are a prime candidate. You have been set up by God. And especially if you're doing the things that you know are pleasing to God, God will be right there. And, you know, we've heard the saying over and over again, God shows up at 11:59. I don't know why that is, but God shows up at the last minute and he always does things. And I believe part of the reason why he does that is because there will be no doubt that it was God who did it, because you waited to the last minute and you saw no way out, nothing you could do with the finances, nothing you can do with the children or whatever the situation may be. But you got to learn to trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and scripture said he'll give you the desires of your heart. And so it is important for us to learn how to trust God. And you can't learn how to trust God unless you put in a situation where you need trust. You only need faith when you need faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So God is going to always put us in situations where it's going to call for us to walk by faith and not by sight. And so we have to be ready for that. The scriptures teaches us that if we're going to live godly, if we're going to live to be pleasing to God, we're going to suffer persecution. Things are going to happen when you make up your mind you're really going to serve God and stop operating in your flesh and stop speaking against people and talking about the sister, the brother in the church. You know, we are a body, and we have to learn that we are the body of Christ. So God specializes in impossible situations. And he went to the tomb. Jesus went to the tomb. And after he got there, he said, "Take away the stone." He asked the people that was there to take away the stone. The reason why he asked them to take away the stone is because they put it there. God will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, but what we can do for ourselves, God expects us to do it. And so Jesus wasn't going to Lazarus' tomb to remove that stone. He said, "You guys get the stone out the way." And then after the stone was removed, then Jesus stepped forward and he said, "Lazarus, come forth. Now it's my turn. Let me do what only I can do. Let me bring life to that which is dead." Let me bring life to that which is dead. So we have to get out of the way the same way that the stone had to be removed. We have to get the stones out of our heart. We got to get hardness away from us in order for God to move in dead situations in our life and allow the resurrection power that lives in us already. That power can't move and resurrect and bring nothing back to life, because sometimes it's just too much flesh in the way. It's too much of us in the way. It's too many of our opinions in the way. And God can't do the things that he desired to do. Unbelief is in the way. And once we begin to move these things out of our life, we can see a true move of resurrection power in our lives as well. And then God can use you to bring a life and resurrections to others, resurrection to others, because you have allowed yourself to be removed and like that stone blocking Jesus from doing what only Jesus can do. And so in verse 43 in John chapter 11, after they moved the stone, that they took it away. And then, of course, the word next word was that he was stinking by now, because he had been dead 4 days. And so remember what the 4 days was all about, because the religious leaders in Jesus' day believed that the spirit didn't leave the body until 3 days. And Jesus waited till the fourth day so they would know that Lazarus was indeed gone. And so in verse 43, it says, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, here he is again, "Loose him and let him go." What is that all about? Jesus stepped in there and brought life to that which was dead, which is what God does. And then after that, he turned to the people once again and he said, "Now you remove the stone. Lazarus is coming out of the tomb. He's bound. Now I want you to take these bandages, these grave clothes off of him." Why? Because you guys wrapped them around him. And so a lot of times, again, and this is very important, you have to know that God will step in and do what only God can do. But what you can do, he expects you to do it. And God can't deliver us from things that we tolerate. Sometimes there's people in our lives and different situations in our lives that we continue to tolerate. And you can't get free from those things that you continue to tolerate. And you shouldn't expect anybody to help you get out of something that you continue to tolerate. You continue to tolerate certain behaviors in your children and certain behaviors in your spouse. And it's no need of complaining about it. Why? Because you're tolerating it. And if you continue to tolerate it, it's going to continue to be there. So if you want something out of your life that's not good for you, it's not good to be in your life, stop tolerating it. Stop letting people do certain things around you, and you just seem to be okay with it, and all you do is just fuss and fight, but you don't ever do nothing to put a stop to it. So resurrection power lives in you. Now, this is what I want you to get out of this on this Palm Sunday morning. Resurrection power lives in you. And again, 2 Corinthians 13:5, know ye not that Jesus Christ lives in you? And Paul also spoke to the church at Galatia, and he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." It's not I anymore, it's Christ. It's not you anymore, it's Christ. And this is important for us to know, that the Spirit of the Lord lives in us, but we have to yield to the Christ that's in us. So Jesus, you could be born again and regenerated in your spirit, and God has come in to dwell in you, but God could be in you bound because it's too much of you in the way. And as you begin to remove yourself out of the way, again, you can operate in resurrection power and be a blessing, a true blessing to so many other people's lives when they see you. And a lot of times we got to also understand that God allows certain things to come into our life that's painful. You know, pain is something that just happens. It's a part of life. But suffering is a choice. You know, there's a difference between pain and suffering. And so pain is just going to come depending on certain things that happen in our life. But we can choose not to suffer in that thing that's painful, because that's our choice to do what's necessary to get past or not allow suffering to operate in our lives. And so resurrection power, again, is in you. And God can't work in many because too much of self is in the way. And so Jesus, again, bringing us such a powerful example of what his particular generation had not experienced. They didn't know anything about someone getting up that was really dead. But God wants us to understand this morning that whatever dead situation that could be in your life, if there's a marriage that look like it's dying, if there's children that look like they're going out, if there's money that look like is dying on you, if you would get out of the way, resurrection power can raise up the money, can raise up the marriage, can raise up, give life to whatever life needs to be brought to. So don't feel like it's over with. Don't feel like, you know, it's nothing can be done about it. But God is the resurrection power that Martha didn't know. She knew about the scripture. I know he's going to get up at the last day. Well, God wants you and me to understand this morning that you have resurrection power. You can raise up whatever look like it may be dying in your life because Jesus Christ lives in you. I pray that something was said to you this morning that would bless your life. And I also pray that you would consider coming out and being a part of one of our anointed services this Sunday and, of course, on Resurrection Sunday. And may the Lord continue to bless you and bless your week. I pray that this will be a week that you have never experienced before. But as you get out of the way, you'll start seeing some miraculous things happen in your life and in God. And a lot of times, again, we just in God's way because God wants to bless you more than you're ready for the blessing. May God bless you until we meet again.